Now, the rest of the story. Ever since anyone could remember, Hank was fascinated with watches, pocket watches of any kind. When he was a young boy, he received one of them as a present. He proceeded to astonish the family by taking it apart and then putting it back together, and it ran perfectly. Shortly thereafter, he began repairing his friend's watches. Dad said that Hank should charge for the service, but the youngster explained it was just a labor of love. He enjoyed it so much. In his teens, Hank could disassemble and reassemble a watch. Listen to this. Blindfolded. Well, by then it was clear to everybody that young Hank was headed for a career as a watchmaker. At 17, he took a job at the McGill Jewelry Store. The establishment had recently procured a sizable inventory of watches from another store. Hank's first project would be to clean and check them. The job had one condition. Hank must remain in the back room, out of the customer's view, for although his work was excellent, his apparent youth was potentially confidence-shaking. But Hank didn't mind the back room, long as he could tinker with his beloved timepieces. After 3 years in the business, Hank had built up quite a reputation as a watch repairer, quite a personal collection of watches, more than 300 of them. And then one day, he got an idea. In Hank's era, the greatest part of a watch's cost was that it had to be assembled by hand. There was no machinery accurate or delicate enough to put them together. But Hank became convinced that it was possible to mass-produce watches, thereby drastically reducing the price. And from the moment that brainstorm struck, Hank devoted all of his spare time to planning mass production of watches. He made designs for the machinery and for the dies for the stampings. He even cut some of the dies so that they would be ready for his future factory. He calculated the costs of production. He deduced that he could make a serviceable watch for 30 cents. He got another young jeweler interested in the project, and the two plotted various means of raising the necessary capital to go into the business of mass-producing watches. But suddenly, on the verge of embarking upon this revolutionary enterprise, Hank got cold feet. Even if he could make quality timepieces price-wise accessible to the American working man, a watch was not an outright necessity. And at 30 cents apiece, the way Hank figured, he'd have to manufacture and sell more than 500,000 watches to show a decent profit. So Hank abandoned the idea of mass-producing watches. In fact, he abandoned watchmaking and watch repairing altogether. But because he did, an American industrial empire was born. The world has forgotten Hank the watchmaker. The world never even heard of Hank the watchmaker, the dreamer of timepieces that anybody could afford. But because he applied that same principle to another kind of machinery, because his studies had taught him much about mass production, the automobile was promoted from unattainable extravagance to everyday transportation. You know Hank, the Detroit watchmaker, as Henry Ford. Only now you know the rest of the story.